Hello, everyone. So today I have Dan joining me, and I also have Steve Beals. He's another member of our team joining us today. And we're going to be talking about what managed DAS is and, you know, kind of the evolution of VDI and all the different flavors that are available now. So, Steve, welcome to the ClickDown.
Thanks, Anna. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, just wait. Just wait till it's over. Then you won't be excited anymore.
So before we start, why don't you tell us a little about, we know who you are, but our audience probably doesn't know who you are. So why don't you tell us a little bit about you?
Yeah, sure. So I've been with Citrix. This is going on my 10th year, but it's over two stints. So I'm in my 8.5, 9th year since I came back. Been a part of your guys' team now for almost a year. Before that, I was on our sales engineering team and actually came up through our consulting team. Been in the IT realm for, you know, God, 25 years now, which is crazy, and working with Citrix technology since the WinFrame days. So, and I live in cloudy, rainy, cold New York, not New York City. And personally, I have four kids, two of which are older. One is a software engineer, one is in college, and two are still in secondary school.
Now, are they going to listen to this podcast?
Absolutely not. They asked me what I would be talking about today, and I said, oh, I'm talking about managed DAS. And they both looked at me and were like, okay. And then went back to TikTok.
They didn't put a big L on their forehead and go, no. Loser.
Do your kids listen to the podcast, Dan?
Only to heckle me and to make fun of me.
I think my family listened to maybe the first half of the episode. Then they had no idea what I was talking about. And I don't think they've ever listened since. So I can talk about terrible things about them and they would never know. Just kidding. I would never do that. Anyway, so back to our topic and what people actually care to listen about, managed DAS. So managed DAS is, to me, a very interesting topic. And I think also a topic that causes a lot of confusion because people who know about, you know, like traditional VDI, want to understand the differences in terms of like use cases, functionality, and what is what. So let's kick things off. Dan, do you want to explain in an elevator pitch what managed DAS is?
Oh, God, I didn't know I was going to do an elevator pitch. It's VDI that's really easy.
There you go.
So, you know, it's basically desktop virtualization, except it's very simplified. The admin only has to focus on their image and user entitlements, and that's basically it.
Yeah, and I would probably just add too, I think that probably the biggest difference too when we talk about VDI, right, it's cloud based, so it's you know, cloud hosted, so that I think is a big differentiator when we think about VDI and DAS as a whole.
Yeah, that's it's funny, as I know some people who listen to this are, you know, have done the Citrix VDI thing for years and decades. And, you know, anytime you mention cloud, it's like, nope, can't do it. Never going to do it. Don't see the point. And I'm like, wait. It's like, come on, you know, it's the 2020s now. And, and it's just like, that's just the way things are moving, you know? So, I mean, I remember back in the day, you know, doing, you know, the ZenApp, Zen Desktop and the MetaFrames and all that type of stuff. And it's like, every time I had to upgrade, I was terrified that I was going to screw something up, you know, and right. I never did, but I was always terrified. I know for our lab environment, we've been, you know, we use DAS, not managed DAS, but we use DAS. And like I tell people, it's like, I haven't installed a delivery controller in years now, and I don't even think about upgrades anymore from the infrastructure perspective. So it's kind of nice.
And I think one of the cool things is if you think about it, like you mentioned, there's different tiers, right? So you could be fully on-prem where you're managing pretty much everything from the administrative components down to the images. Then you have our virtual apps and desktop service where we're managing the control plane, but you can host the images, whether it be on-prem or in your own cloud tenant. And then you have managed as, where it could be fully end-to-end on our cloud tenant. So it really is what you want. And the coolest thing about it is that you don't have to pick just one. Like you could have all three of them, and then depending on the use case, pick which one makes the most sense, which I think is pretty interesting.
Yeah, if you think about a smaller organization, admins in those organizations, they don't specialize on, DAS. They're all over the place. They're doing networking, they're doing desktops, they're supporting the environment and just doing tons of things. So they cannot be an expert in everything they do. So if they need to do desktop virtualization, going down a path of something like managed DAS makes perfect sense. It's like, you don't have to worry about the infrastructure, and you don't even have to worry about the cloud infrastructure, because that's a whole different thing.
Honestly, if you know how to install applications, you can go into managed DAS, right? Because it's when we introduced managed DAS, it's all wizard based. So you're really just kind of following a few simple click-throughs. And even if you want to build your own image, as long as you can install applications, it's pretty straightforward to have a environment up in a matter of hours.
If we can do it, you can too. So Steve, since you're the freshest one out of the field, is that a word? Well, I just made it up. If not,
works for me.
I know when I left the field, a lot of my customers were still in the situation that Dan described, where mm-hmm. they were like, we will never, ever look at cloud. We will never go to cloud. There is no way. And then I feel like that has significantly changed, right?
Yeah,
and
I would agree. Yeah.
So what is your perspective?
Shift. Yeah, there's been a shift, I think. And I kind of come from that same school, right? I mean, everything I had done in my career was always on-prem. And honestly, it was always physical. And then it was a big change to go to virtual, right? And then you get to virtual, but you're still on-prem, but now everything's cloud-based. And I think that was a big paradigm shift to say, yeah, we're now going to go to the cloud and move infrastructure to the cloud. And I think what it really came down to was, cost. I think in the beginning, cloud was kind of looked at as, we're going to save a ton of money. And over time, maybe that's it's not upfront cost, it's more subscription cost. But I think the ability to spin things up, spin things down, and then you're not having to, all the management overhead and everything else. So again, the customers I had and was working with over the last, number of years, really a lot of them were starting to go to the cloud. Maybe not all in 100%. There was sort of a phased approach to it. But there were some, customers that were like, no, we're going, here's the date, and we're making the jump.
You said, let's get physical. And my mind just went back to that old, music from, what was it, the 70s or 80s?
Yep. Vivian, you and John.
I couldn't remember who that was. So I'm totally off track now.
Now I lost my train of thought. No, but I would agree, right? And I think the beauty of Citrix, and what I always like to reiterate, is that there's not a one size fits all. And so while more customers and most customers now have adopted cloud, I mean, you see the explosion of SaaS applications, right? So not just desktop as a service, but some of the other as a service solutions. And the beauty of it is that it's okay. Like, if you have a specific use case where just managed DAS doesn't make sense, we're not telling you that this is the only way to do it and that you should do managed DAS for everything. It's more about opening the possibilities of maybe you have interns and you don't want to spend up those resources in your own cloud tenant, or you have contractors, or you have temporary workers. And so there's just so much power to the flexibility of the offerings that we have within the DaaS umbrella that I think a lot of customers can take value off of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that intern use case, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I think, you know, when we talk about DaaS and managed DaaS and everything else, we always, you know, see how, you know, the use case, you know, developers or contractors or seasonal workers. And that intern use case is interesting. And I was working with a customer, I think now it's a year and a half or so ago, that was looking at, you know, DaaS solution specifically for interns, right? And not, you know, making them have come in with their own devices and things of that nature. So, yeah, I think there's just so many different things, but the choice is the biggest thing there.
Now, I know earlier when we started talking about this, you know, and try to explain what managed DaaS is or was, you said basically if you can install apps,
yeah,
you can do managed DaaS. So with this, you have to have an image. Now, with the managed DaaS, there's a couple different options that you can do. I mean, there's the template, you can use that, you can customize a template, or you can build your own, right?
Correct. Yeah. So with our managed DaaS service, we actually introduce what are called Citrix prepared images, right? And it's essentially what it sounds like. There's multiple images, Windows desktop, there's Windows server, there's actually Linux-based images that Citrix has gone ahead, they're fully updated security-wise, and they have the most recent supported VDA already installed. There's some troubleshooting tools on there. So when you go to the wizard, essentially, and want to create an image, that option's already there for you to sort of have like that baseline template. You're not having to, you know, worry about installing a Citrix VDA or things of that nature. Again, once you run through and get this image set up, it's just going on then installing the application. But if you are already in Azure, if you have your own Azure subscription, if you're already running something as a, you know, a server hosted or, you know, virtual desktop in Azure, and you have an image, and managed desktops is something that we need to spin up, you're able to import that image, you know, move that image over and utilize that as well. So there's definitely options. We're not pigeonholing you into here, this is the image you have to use, and, you know, that's the way you're off and running.
And I believe the, you know, you said, you know, Linux images in there as well. The Windows-based ones, I mean, there's a few different ones in there. Last time I saw, wasn't there?
Yeah, that's correct. ADD, yeah, there's Windows 10 multi-session obviously was, you know, it came out 2020, I think now, and that was a big one, being able to run Windows 10, you know, in Azure, right? So Windows 10 multi-session, Windows Server 2019, Linux, like I mentioned. So there's definitely different flavors, different options. I know that one, you know, a couple of the Windows 10 options also have Office Microsoft 365 already installed. So, you know, you can leverage that as well. So, and what's nice about the managed desktop, you know, platform as well is when, you know, you're not, you know, Anna mentioned it before how, you know, we give you those options, right? You know, if you have resources on-prem, if you have your own cloud subscription, but if, you know, manage, you know, if you want to use a managed Azure, you know, it's our Azure. So we're billing you for that consumption, right? So it's a matter, you know, if you're spinning things up in there and you have some desktops, even if it's a project, let's say for a week, right? And you have those on, you know, you have people working on those 8 to 5 Eastern time. You can then spin those things down at 5 p.m. and you're not paying for that consumption, right? And it's, you know, I think it's a nice little option there for customers.
And that's a big thing, using the Citrix Azure subscription for it instead of your own, because, I mean, if you are not comfortable working in the cloud, you know, the infrastructure portion of the cloud,
right,
you know, it's confusing.
Yeah. Right. Absolutely.
you can screw up big time.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, what's going to happen? It's like, well, you can forget to lock down the RDP access. And now you just introduce that to everybody on the internet. People can come in and, you know, hack into your environment and, you know, start mining Bitcoin in your Azure subscription. And you don't realize until all of a sudden you get a bill of 10 grand. So, you know, there's having, you know, unless, you know, unless this is what you do every day, you know, focus on, you know, building the Azure and maintaining Azure, outsourcing that, you know, having another organization do it for you just makes things easy because, you know, they'll do it correctly. They have all the processes in place, the management, the operations in place to keep this thing running every day.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think one of the other cool things that we haven't mentioned about managed DAS is the ability to have non-domain joined machines within, you know, and provide those. And I think that's especially useful, again, A, if you don't have, if you're a smaller shop and you don't have, you know, a lot of that infrastructure set up, or B, if you want to provide it maybe to contractors and you don't want them on domain joined machines. So I think that's also another use case that's pretty cool with managed DAS and having it run on our Azure tenant.
Yeah, agreed. I think too, you know, there's a lot of things there too that you don't really have to then worry about, right? You don't have to, you know, worry about, you know, taking 20 or so people that maybe you don't want to give them Active Directory credentials, you know, and you know, you can leverage our managed Azure AD, right? They're able to log in with their own, you know, email address, right? You send them a link, they log in with their email address. And as long as they're, you know, listed as a subscriber, they have access to that desktop. So though that non-domain use case, you know, is I think going to become more and more popular for some of these use cases that we see out there, you know, contractors, interns, things of that nature.
Do you know, so, I mean, to log into a Windows desktop, you have to have a Windows ID. So how is it translating from that email address you're putting in there, which could be Gmail, to logging into this non-domain joined desktop?
Yeah, so we essentially take a what's known as a wrapper token to encapsulate this whole user ID token. And that basically is then used to create what, you know, what is known as like a mapped account for the user identity on those machines. So that mapped account is then, you know, all that data is stored in essentially our Azure AD, or, you know, if you do link to the, you know, your own organization's AD, and the password and everything is stored securely there. So, that's really how we do it. It's kind of like nuts and bolts behind everything. And we're, you know, there's no additional infrastructure. I think, you know, some people on the, you know, listening in may, you know, say, oh, you know, this has something to have to, you know, leverage FAS, right? Federated Authentication Services. Cause you know, if you think about, you know, SAML tokens, things of that nature, but it's not requiring anything else from you. It's something that we're doing in the background. So that, you know, local map user's account name and password information is then, you know, retrieved when we, you know, when the user goes to authenticate the workspace. And then that identity is passed in.
That's cool. So the next question I have is, or I guess the next area, you know, it's having a desktop's great. You know, you got your applications, you got your, you know, Windows interface, you know, great. But where's your data? You know, what are you going to load in Word?
Yeah, you know, so how are you going to access, you know, with that, so you know, you have some options there as well. So you know, if you think about, if I have, you know, a user where, you know, I'm going to give them a desktop and everything, I don't want to provide them any access to data, right? You have that option. We essentially call that no connectivity. So where, you know, they're basically working in at, you know, on a desktop in our managed Azure, and that's where they are. Anything they want to save, documents, whatever, would just be on that desktop. But we have options with managed DAS to actually go link back essentially to your on-premises data center or another, you know, your own Azure subscription. So with that, so if we think about going back to another Azure subscription, if there's, you know, if you're in Azure, you have, you know, file servers or database servers or whatever you need, and they're in that Azure subscription, we can do what's called Azure VNet peering. Essentially, you know, making a link between our managed Azure and your Azure subscription allowing those users then to, from their virtual desktops or the applications, to get to that data. The on-premises is the same sort of thing, where, you know, you're setting up a VNet, and then it will leverage the express route that's, you know, connected. And then we also have SD-WAN, right? So you can also set up SD-WAN connectors on your on-premises and in the managed Azure, and that can allow you to get back to on-premises as well. So few options there. It really depends, I think, on the use case, what sort of data, you know, you need to have them get to as well.
You know, another option. So I know it's not in the UI, because there's, from the managed DAS perspective, there's nothing to configure, but you could switch it to, you know, no connectivity, you know, to your other subscriptions or your data center. And then you could use, you know, a ZTNA, a Zero Trust Network Access solution, like, you know, Citrix Secure Private Access. So what would happen then is, in your managed DAS desktop, you launch the browser and you click on that bookmark, and that bookmark goes, you know, to a web app that's in your data center. It'll still be able to connect to that, even though you never built, you know, a VPN tunnel, you never built the express route, you didn't do any of that type of stuff. That's just how ZTNA works. So from that perspective, your managed DAS desktop, just, you can think of it as like your endpoint, you know, in a traditional ZTNA type solution. Right. But.
Yeah, you know, and I kind of think about it as, if you remember the old adage, the old jump box adage, that's sort of like what it is, right? It's, you know, you're using different mechanisms. It's secure, but you're essentially, you could use that managed desktop as that jump box into, you know, your corporate data.
I think one of the other things that I ran into, and I think as admins are getting more used to this idea of cloud, but I know a lot of times when we were presenting, you know, cloud solutions to our customers, one of the worries from the admin was, now what am I going to do, right? Like, if I'm not managing this environment, which is what I typically do in my day in and day out, are they just going to fire me? And I think there's a shift, right? Like, instead of being bogged down with, let me update my delivery controllers and let me patch my servers or whatever it may be, you could think about more strategic ways of using your time versus just being so focused on the next update.
Right. Yeah. Start thinking about user experience as well. Right. I mean, I'm sure we've all had conversations with customers and admins, and that's always been, well, you know, I'm always concentrating on the infrastructure, and the infrastructure is taking so much time, and because it's not just Citrix a lot of times, right? A lot of Citrix admins are basically infrastructure admins, right? They're dealing with hosts and virtual machines and storage and sometimes network, you know, whatever it may be. But being able to take that away and then allowing them to focus on the end user experience, right? Because that doesn't go away. I mean, all those conversations of, you know, my users are having these issues and things of that nature. And I believe me, I've had the conversations where they, you know, the admins have said, I can't help them because I have all these other issues. I have all these other projects, whatever it may be. So taking that piece away and then allowing them to focus on that end user experience. And like you said, anything else strategic that could help the environment, I think, you know, goes a long way.
Yeah. I know personally, I don't know of many people who don't have, you know, enough work to do. You know, everyone I know is just like swamped with work. It's like, oh my God, if you could just get rid of these three things, right, it'd be so much better. I could do a much better job and everything else. So I honestly think it's, you know, it's better getting rid of that, you know, tedious stuff that you really shouldn't have to worry about.
And that it's not fun. I feel like I haven't heard of one person who actually is like, I like to update my delivery controller. That's what gets me excited every day.
You're usually doing it, right? You're usually doing it on a Saturday night at like 11 p.m. and you have like a window from like 11 p.m. to 3 a.m., right? And if something goes wrong, the next thing you know, it's 6 a.m. So, yeah, I mean, you get rid of that. And, you know, I think, you know, the whole work-life balance, even, you know, starts to, you know, present itself a little bit better for you as well.
And the other
thing. There you go. Managed DAS is the solution to work-life balance.
That should be our new slogan. We should send that to brand. The other thing I was just going to mention before we wrap up is that with managed DAS, a lot of people, I think, see it, you know, there's of this like watered down version. And I don't think that's the case because you still have a lot of the same tools, right? So you have like a monitoring tab to still have some of that visibility. And you have tools like AutoScale that you could still utilize. So it's not necessarily a watered down version like some people like to call it. I think it's just for specific use cases where it makes a lot more sense versus some of the other.
I think it's, you know, I always remember, you know, people always saying to me, you have those tools in your toolbox, right? It's a tool in your toolbox, right? So if it's something that fits for, you know, a use case, you can leverage it, but it may not be the end all, you know, for you, but it's there and it's something that can be set up within, you know, literally hours. Like it's not something that can be, you know, that you're going to have to sit there and spend a whole weekend deploying, or, you know, it's, you know, you get on, you know, we have our little quick deploy and you run through it and you can have your image. Honestly, I did it yesterday because I was testing a couple things out. In 37 minutes, I had an image ready for me to install applications and ready to go. You installed a couple applications and 2 hours later I had, you know, things built out. So it, you know, a tool in the toolbox, but I think it's a pretty powerful tool.
Well, think about it. It's like, how would you customize a VDI or DAS environment? It's like, well, I'm going to have different applications. Yep, you can do that with managed DAS. I need to deploy these in certain regions. Yep, you can do that with managed DAS. I need a certain sized, you know, instance, you know, virtual instance. Yep, you can do that. And it's like, I need to lock down the environment or turn off, you know, virtual channels, or, you know, set it up so that it's using different video or audio codecs and stuff like that. It's like, yep, you can still do that. So it's just like, I'm not sure what you can't do with managed DAS except have more free time. Yeah. So, yeah, it's like, you know, as I look at it, I just keep seeing, it's like, you get rid of those tedious things that don't really add value. And you focus on those items that, you know, that's why you're buying, you know, Citrix DAS, is not for the install wizard. It's for the experience. So focus your attention on the experience instead of on the install. And, you know, that's kind of the value you're going to end up getting. But with that, Steve, I'd like to thank you for being here and enlightening us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And it was fun. See, so.
Alrighty, we'll see you guys next time.